into the light. Come into the light and do what is right. Oh, child, you are precious in my sight. That's why I've given my son to you. That's why I work in you through and through. I will lead you in the way that you should go. Just take hold of my hand, and you will know, and I will help you grow, and I will show you all the good things that I have planned for you. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I hear the word of the Lord. Well, you know, in life, we face battles, don't we? But because Jesus Christ has chosen you and you have invited him into your heart, you are on the winning side. You are destined to win every battle you will face in life. Amen? God gives you the resources and the goods. We've been talking about this on Wednesdays. And I just wanted to just give you the main points, and then I'll just give you the main points of what we've covered, and then we'll pick up where we are. All right. Number one, if you want to win the battles of life, you've got to. When God gives you something, you can take it. Whatever God promises, whatever God says you can have, you've got to go in and take it, possess it. Right. God gives you the permission when he says it's yours. But then the possessing, the giving is up to God. The possessing is up to us. Amen? Number two, if you want to win battles in life, you have to be in tune with God. You have to walk with God. Listen to God. He's got a divine strategy. He is wiser than the enemy. And he's outsmarted the enemy. Listen, there's no comparison. Okay? So you got to be in tune with God. Number three, God must be your only commander-in-chief for every battle. Don't consult your feelings. Don't consult others' opinions. Find out what God says. Do what God says. Let him be the only commander-in-chief. All right? He'll give you the winning instruction. Number four, you got to fight your battles for right reasons. We went over those last week, and tonight we're going to start with number five, and we're going to talk about how preparation is required for every battle you face. You know, our military spends time preparing, training, disciplining. You know, I've never been in the military, but you know, when you enlist in the military, how many has been in the military? All right, we got one here, two here. You know, you go through basic training, right? That's a period where they want to break you down and build you up. And if you can make it through basic training, then you are fit to defend, because we don't want any wimps defending the country. Amen? So what kind of preparation are we going to go through to fight to win the battles of life? Go with me to Joshua chapter 3, the book of Joshua. Chapter 3. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of things that get packed into this hour. Amen? And we try to keep it at an hour, but sometimes the Holy Ghost just goes over. And that's okay. When he goes over, it's good. Amen. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 5. The Bible says, Joshua was about ready to go into battle. He was about ready to take the city of Jericho, which was the first city in the land of Canaan. Okay? And notice what he said to the people. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So, preparation that we're going to have to go under to get ready for the battle, we're going to have to go under sanctification. consecration, purification, and faith elevation. So tonight you're going to leave with your faith elevated. You're going to leave with more faith than you came in tonight. Amen? God's going to build your faith up. I'm here to pump you up. This word to sanctify, it's the word kodesh. It means to make or pronounce or observe as clean. It means to consecrate, to dedicate, to prepare. Okay? So Joshua was saying that you've got to sanctify yourselves. Do you know what? The enemy will use dirt against you. But when you're clean, when he tries to use dirt against you, it'll be ineffective. Amen? Because his dirt will just bounce off you, like rubber bounces off a wall. All right? So we need. He said to sanctify yourselves. Make yourselves clean. All right? Jesus is clean. He is pure. He is holy. Right? And when you're walking with God, he wants you to be clean too. Clean in your mind. Cleaning your body, cleaning the way you treat people, all right? And some of us were a mess before we came to Jesus, right? Anybody besides me was a mess, but, you know, Jesus cleaned me up. He took my mess and my mistakes and made something beautiful out of it. Do you know that he makes beauty out of ashes? He turns mourning into joy. He'll give you oil of joy for mourning. Amen? Because God is a God who likes to turn things around. All right, go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. Acts 20 and verse 32. It says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." What's going to happen when you're commended to God, when you're committed to God? His word is going to build you up. His word is going to get you ready. His word is really everything we need to fight enemies. Okay, let me read this from the Amplified. It says, "Now, brethren, I commit you to God. I deposit you in his charge, entrusting you to his protection and care. With God, you win. Without God, you lose." Don't think that you can take on your enemies by yourself. You will fall flat on your face. He will whoop your behind. But with God, you and God together are a majority. Remember Elisha? An army had camped around Elisha, and he said, "They that be with us is more than be with them." And his servant couldn't see that. But when his servant's eyes, he said, "Lord, open my servant's eyes." And when he saw the mountain filled with fiery chariots all around Elisha. So wherever you go, when you're with God, you are a majority. Okay? So this is a committing to God for his protection and care. "I commend you to the word of his grace, to the commands, counsels, and promises of his unmerited favor. It is able to build you up and give you a rightful inheritance among all God's set apart ones, those consecrated, purified, and transformed of soul." Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're talking about being prepared for the battle. When do you prepare for a battle? You better not be preparing during the battle, because that's too late. You better be preparing before the battle. Did you know that people in the military, they're constantly undergoing training? Continue. They even play war games. They do like paint war, whatever they do, I don't know. But they continue to do training. Why? They maintain their readiness. And just Christian's got to maintain your readiness. Did you know that you're wearing shoes of readiness of the gospel of peace? You've got shoes that are ready. You're ready to give an answer for anyone who asks you. You've got to stay ready, right? Because you don't know what you're going to face when you get up tomorrow. You can never take a day off of preparing. Preparation time is never lost time. But we've got to maintain a state of readiness because whether you like it or not, battles will come. I'm going to touch on that in a little bit, but not right now. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at verses 10 and 11. Well, we better back up to verse 9. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." These are people who do this habitually and never change. Okay? Now notice what he says, verse 11. "And such were some of you, but," everybody say but. Listen, God butted into our lives. And what did he do? He said, "You are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Listen, prior to knowing Jesus, we were on a path to destruction. And God found us. Oh, no, you think you found him? No, no, no. He found you. He knew exactly where you were. And he was drawing you. He was wooing you. He was bidding you to come. And there was a time when our eyes were open and we came to Jesus. We came with all this baggage, all this stuff, attitudes, habits, you know, mindsets that were ungodly, and we come dragging it in. And God, just like the ticket counter said, God says, "Let me weigh your baggage. I'm going to check it in," and you never see that baggage again. He takes all that baggage, all that junk, all that mess, and he makes you brand new. He makes you a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Say, "I am a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Now, God then expects us to walk in that newness now. I mean, no, when you guys get a new car, you work extra hard to keep it clean. For a while anyway, right? Yeah. Wow, I like that new car smell. Well, now that you're a new person, God expects us to continue to walking in the newness of life. Why? Because what you had before was terrible, but what you have now is so much better. And we've got to continue to walk in that every day. And God will help you. Even if you are walking along and you make a mistake and you sin, God will still help you. God will work with you. I mean, he had enough patience waiting on us. He might as well work with us. Amen? So, sanctification. We are sanctified and cleansed by the washing of the water of his word. How many take a shower more than once a week? Amen? Why do we take showers more than once a week? Because no matter how long you're in this earth, you pick up filth. Right? Did you know that every day you can take a shower in his word? You can take a bath in his word? You can soak in his word. And it just cleans you. Don't you feel good after a nice shower? I'll never forget when I got paid to climb trees. That was a great job. And it had its ups and downs, but it was good. I'm just thinking if you're, I just want to see if you're awake there. But I'd get out of that tree, man, and I'd be covered with sawdust. I'd be covered with dirt and grime. Oh, but when I got into that shower, whoo, it made me feel like a new man. Well, we're sanctified. Jesus said, "You are sanctified by my truth. My word is truth." All God has to do is speak a word, and it will clean, it'll make you squeaky clean. I'm going to wash that sin right out of my hair, right? Oh, boy. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Another thing that we have to do in preparing to win battles, we've got to be consecrated. We've got to be committed, set apart. Romans 12, verse 1 says this, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? A what? Aren't you glad that he said, I don't want a dead sacrifice? Woo, thank God. Okay, how are we supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice? Holy and acceptable unto who? See, as a new creature, you live according to different standards now. All right? You don't do whatever your flesh wants to do. You do what God tells you you should do. You do what God tells you to do, and you tell your flesh, hey, you're going to come along for the ride. Your flesh might resist. You know, maybe you get woke up at midnight, and God is urging you to pray. And your flesh is saying, I'm tired, but you feel this burden. Oh, I better pray, but I'm so tired. I better pray. You just tell your flesh, shut up, flesh, we're going to pray. If you've got to put your flesh on its knees, you've got to do it. Did you know that your flesh will do what you tell it to do? We can train dogs, we can train our flesh. Amen. But we're supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, he said, which is our reasonable service. Notice it's not unreasonable. God is not asking too much of us. All right? Go with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. Notice this verse. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. How long should we be blameless? Until Jesus comes. Right? Notice the order in which he lists that. Spirit. When does your spirit get consecrated? When you get born again. All right? And then your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. And notice what gets consecrated last. Your body. See, as a new born-again believer, as a new person, we now have our spirits in control of our lives, not the other way around. Before we came to Christ, our bodies ruled us. But now, we're supposed to be spirit-ruled. Because your spirit is born again. Your spirit has been made new. Your flesh has got to be subdued. Your mind has got to be renewed. Okay? We don't have to do anything with our spirits, but we have to do something with our mind and our bodies. Our spirit now has to be the dominant voice, because when you fight the enemy, you can't fight him in the flesh. You've got to fight him in the spirit. You've got to fight him in a different way than you used to fight before. We don't fight the enemy with our fists. We fight the enemy with the Word of God. The Word of God is our sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is, when Jesus comes back, he's going to have a flaming sword out of his mouth, talking about the power of his Word. And this is how we fight the enemy now. So we've got to get used to living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. We've got to get used to having God talk to our spirit. You've got to know how God talks to you. He talks to your spirit. And your spirit tells your mind, and your mind tells your body. But it's the whole spirit, soul, and body that gets sanctified. What set apart Joshua and Caleb from the rest of Israel? The Bible says that Caleb was of a different spirit. Him and Joshua wholly followed the Lord. I want you to think about this for a minute. What if you were 2 in 2 million? Where everybody around you is negative. Everybody around you is a complainer. Everybody around you is a whiny baby. Everybody around you is a doubter. But you too have to maintain your faith for 40 years while you're putting up with everybody else. See, Joshua and Caleb qualified to go into the promised land because of their heart, because of their faith, because of the way they carry themselves. Just about everybody else was disqualified. They had to wait 40 years. But yet, they didn't lose their faith. They didn't let the negativity get in them. They maintained their faith in God. They maintained their purity in the midst of negativity all around them. Can you do that? Or when you're around negativity, does it become part of you? Does it find its way into you? See, this is why sanctification, consecration, and purification is so important. Jesus could sit in the midst of sinners and he would not be negatively affected. But those sinners had an opportunity to change their ways in his presence. Some did, some didn't. I mean, when Zacchaeus met Jesus, Jesus was going to pass by where he was, and what did he do? He climbed up a tree. And he was so excited, he wanted Jesus to see him. And what happened? Jesus walked by and he said, Zacchaeus, he said, I'm going to have lunch with you today. I'm paraphrasing. Zacchaeus came down, and what happened? Zacchaeus changed. He said, if I've wronged anybody, I'm going to pay him back 4 times. He didn't do that before, but he did that when he met Jesus. He took the opportunity to change his ways. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to use his word and change our ways. We've got to wash our minds, and we've got to get in the word so the word gets in us. Don't think that you'll ever be a successful Christian if you don't get in the word. Well, I'm just not a reader. Well, you better pray to God and ask God to help you. Because you've got to get in the word. And it doesn't come just by touching it. You know, it doesn't come through osmosis. You've got to open the pages. You've got to read it. You've got to meditate in it so it gets in you. I mean, if you had a beautiful plate of food that someone just made and you just sit there and say, what are you doing? I'm absorbing the food. No, you got to take your fork or your spoon or whatever and you got to put the piece in there and put it in there. You got to chew. It's got to go through digestion. Otherwise, it does you no good. And if you don't get in the word, you're like a person that someone made a beautiful meal, your favorite meal, and you're just looking at it trying to absorb it. It doesn't work that way. You've got to chew it. You've got to get the word in you. It's so important. Why? Because you're going to face battles if you haven't already. Can you imagine? I mean, you know, Barney Fife, he only has one bullet. And he doesn't put his bullet in until he needs it. And when he needs it, he's shaking so much he can hardly put it in. That's like a lot of Christians. They're facing the enemy unloaded. They're blank. They're shooting blanks. Because they don't continue to arm themselves. Like Barney Fife Christians. Well, Andy, I'll tell you. Did you know that the blood of Jesus Christ purifies our conscience from dead works? Did you know that God put within us our own purification system? You know, at our house, we don't drink the tap water. Why? It tastes bad. We buy bottled water. We need to get a purifier because that way we wouldn't have to buy so much bottled water. But we buy bottled water because the water in our house, it's got so much chemicals in it. You know, it's probably worse just sitting in the shower because they say that your skin absorbs it more than drinking it. But see, Jesus put within us his purification system, his blood. His blood cleanses us, purifies us from all sin. What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. See, Jesus, when we make mistakes, when we miss the mark, it's called sin. Big, little, it doesn't matter. Sin is sin, right? But we have an outlet, don't we? We can confess our sin, and what is Jesus? He is faithful and just, not only to forgive us, but to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, when we sin, it's like a pig playing in the mud. And the pig comes in the house, we're covered from head to... I'll never forget when I played football in my freshman year. The worse the weather, the better the coach liked it. And one day it rained, and there was this giant puddle in our practice field. And what did our coach do? He put the football in the middle of the puddle, and we had to run and dive for that football. And you can imagine, I mean, we were covered with mud from head to toe. And that's what happens when we sin. We get covered from mud to head to toe, but the Word washes us and makes it clean. It gets out all the stains. And we've got to live pure lives. All right? Titus 3:5, you don't have to turn there, but it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. We can't work, get our own righteous. If we try to get our own righteous, that's called self-righteous. That means you're relying on self and not God, and that makes you an enemy of God. Because there's no such thing as a self-righteous person. Righteousness comes only from God. So he says, Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Woo, aren't you glad we can be renewed day by day? The Bible says the old man is perishing, but the new man is being renewed day by day. I may get another wrinkle tomorrow, but inside, my spirit man is getting more beautiful and more handsome every day. He's being renewed every day. And eventually, I'm going to get an upgrade in my body anyway. All right? So we have to be sanctified. We have to be consecrated. And we have to be purified. And that's a process. It occurs daily. How many times did Paul say that he had to die? Daily. What was he talking about? He was talking about putting his flesh on the altar. Die. He wasn't talking about him dying or separating from God. He was talking about his carnality. When you wake up tomorrow, you're going to have to decide to do what the Spirit says or what your flesh says. We have a choice every day. And every day we're going to have to decide more what the Spirit wants and less what the flesh wants. So let's talk about this final one about faith elevation. How many want your faith elevated? Lifted up. You've come tonight to get a faith lift. Amen? Here's what happens when God wants to elevate your faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to what? Can't please God without faith. So faith is very important. But it's not greater than love. All right? If you have aught against any, and you try to use your faith, it's not going to work. Because faith works by love, but that's a whole other sermon. All right? In 2 Chronicles 20:20, all right? This is faith elevation. You're going to need faith to win battles. All right? Faith is part of your armor. Shield of faith, right? It quenches all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Okay? 2 Chronicles 20:20 says, believe in the Lord your God. How many believe in God? Okay, you know the devils believe, but it doesn't change them. What are you doing with your belief? How are you acting on your belief? How are you carrying out your belief? Okay? If you believe you're healed, then why talk sickness anymore? Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you'll prosper. So when your faith is elevated, you're established. You're fixed. Not that you were broken, but you're in a movable place. Okay? You're established. 1 Peter 5:10 says this: May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. How many want a good testimony? Well, how many want a good test? In order to get a good testimony, you got to have a test, right? Because God wants to see your faith on the line. So God will test your faith. Abraham, I want you to sacrifice Isaac. That was just a test. To see whether or not there would be any withholding of whatever God asked of him. Now, aren't you glad that God's not going to ask you to sacrifice your Isaac on the day after you get born again? Okay? That wasn't the first thing that God asked Abraham. He first asked him to leave where he was, to leave his home and leave his country. All right? And as his relationship with God grew, God asked more of him. To whom much is given, much is what? So then people say, well, I don't want a whole lot from God then. Listen, if God is going to give you much, that means he's equipping you to help more people. We want to be able to help more people, right? Why? Some of you need to be delivered from a small thinking. One guy said, if we're going to think, we might as well think big, right? When your faith is elevated, you become immovable, unshakable, unstoppable. It doesn't matter if a giant comes. It doesn't matter if you're thrown into a fiery furnace. It doesn't matter if you're thrown into the lion's den. It doesn't matter if you get out of the boat and walk on water and start to sink. Your faith. It doesn't matter because, listen, when your faith is fixed, what can Satan do to you? Nothing. Not a zip. Zero. You got to have fixed faith. You got to be rooted and grounded on the rock. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're right there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself. Aren't you glad that God gets involved in your life on a personal level? And God, even our Father, which has loved us, and has given us everlasting consolation or comfort and good hope through grace. Comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and in every good word and work. God himself, with Jesus Christ, he'll come in, he'll comfort you where you're not moved by what you see. See, when your faith is fixed, you're not moved by outward circumstances. Remember when Jesus encountered Nathanael in John chapter 1? Andrew had just led his brother Peter to Jesus, and Nathanael was sitting under a tree. And Jesus looked at him and said, look, there's an Israelite in whom there's no guile. And when he said, surely you're the Son of God. And Jesus said, how did you know me? He said, well, you were sitting under the tree. And Jesus said, Nathanael said, surely you're the Son of God. And he told Nathanael, he said, you believe that just because I said you had no God? He said, yes. He said, you're going to see greater things. You're going to see angels ascending and descending. See, some people need a lot of extra information to be convinced to believe. Others don't. You want to be a person that you believe simply what God said, all right? He doesn't have to do anything else. He doesn't have to demonstrate anything else. He just, you say it and you believe it, and that settles it. That's what it means to have your faith elevated. Lift it up. Okay? Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I love Colossians. I memorized Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians by saying General Electric Power Company. That's how you remember the order. GEPH or GEPC, General Electric Power Company. Colossians chapter 2, I'm sorry, chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Notice this. Well, we better start with verse 5. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. Notice your faith comes by hearing what? Faith comes by hearing what? The word, right? Okay? Which is come unto you. I'm sorry, I'm reading verse 1. Let's move over to verse 2. You know what? It makes me laugh because I start preaching like it's part of it. And then I realize, oh, wait a minute. All right, Colossians chapter 2. Let's try this. Rewind. Okay? Verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Notice, that's our responsibility. If you receive Christ, your responsibility is how to walk. Walk means how you live. You now must put Christ into your life. Christ must be the reason you make decisions now. You must make decisions based on His standard. Okay? Verse 7. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. So, once we receive Christ, we're supposed to walk in Him. We're supposed to be established in Him. You're supposed to develop skill. You're supposed to be a skillful wielder of the sword of the Spirit. Why? Because it is your offense against the enemy. You've got to learn how to cut through things, cut through tradition, cut through carnality, cut through deceit. You've got to cut through some things in order to get to something good. You know, it's like mowing the grass. When you mow high grass, you can see where you've been, right? Because it makes a path. And that's what God wants us to do with faith. He wants us to make a path for our life. But if number one, receive Christ. Number two, walk in Him. Number two, be rooted and built up in Him. Check your roots. What kind of fruit does your roots produce? You can't change the tree, but you can change the roots. You can be rooted in something different. Establish in the faith as you have been taught. You've got to be taught. Teaching is so important. Jesus set it up where we need to be taught. Amen. As a pastor, I've got to have a steady input into me because I'm giving out too. I can't just be giving out and not taking in, because then I'll be depleted. I can't just be taking in and not giving out, because then I become a dead sea. Right? You need going in and going out. That's the way your body works, right? In, out. When it's not coming out properly, when it's not going in properly, there's problems. You need that flow. Same thing with the word. You got to take the word, you got to walk in it, you got to be rooted and grounded in it. All right? You don't have to turn there, but 2 Corinthians 1, 21 to 22 says, now he who establishes us with you is Christ, and has anointed us is God. who also sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee or a down payment. So God establishes you, and God anoints you, and God seals you. You've been sealed in Him. He's got His mark on you. And when the devil messes with you, your big brother steps in. And when big brother shows up, the devil runs. But you don't have to wait for the big brother to show up. You can do what big brother should do. God's given you authority to do what He did. Can you cast out devils? Yes. Can your hands heal the sick? Now, it's not your power that healing the sick, but it's you're just the point of contact, but it's God's power working through you. But listen, if you don't lay hands on the sick, how can God work? You shall lay, Mark 16, you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall what? Recover. Well, how many hands are you laying on sick people? We ought to be laying hands on sick people more. God equipped you with that. And then I'm going to end with this. Romans 16, verses 25 and 26. Romans 16. Now to Him who is able to establish you according to My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. Let me tell you something. God is able to keep you. God is able to sustain you. God is able to establish you. Because here's what happens. He comes in our hearts to help us work out this new life. And He says, you know what? We've got to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? Now that your faith is elevated, right? Believe God will be established. Believe His prophets, you'll prosper. God wants to increase. He wants you to leave here with so full faith that when you leave, you go, nothing is impossible to them that what? So how many believers do we got in the house tonight? If you're a believer, stand up. If you believe God, no matter what He says, and, you know, because you believe God, that pleases God. And God takes great pleasure in you. Amen? And I think that God wants to touch some people tonight in a different way. Because, preaching is great, but the power is better. God, the Holy Spirit likes to demonstrate His power. Because that's just what He does. So if you want to touch tonight, I just want you to make your way up. We're going to start right here. Father, I blast them in the name of Jesus with the Holy Ghost. See, when you're established, you'll have joy unspeakable and full of glory. In the name of Jesus. So I want you to make your way up here. What's going to happen when God touches you? I don't know. You just believe that He's going to touch you. Amen? The power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, Rasandara. Take His crown. Oh, in Jesus' name, let the power, Father, just flow.